Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
I can tell.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you sing it?
You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Change it.
Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome, welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And if you join us on a regular basis, you know that this show is brought to you here every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative. And you know the slogan for this show: if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. Now, many of you who join us on a weekly basis, you've had an opportunity to listen to the various programs that we provide for you and bring to you on a weekly basis. Now, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative is an LLC, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the underemployment of our young African-American millennials locally and nationally. Also to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Radio Talk Show Initiative, which you're listening to live over the airways of Blog Talk Radio, streaming from your nation's capital over Facebook and Twitter. It's also brought to you by Scott Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, publishing and editing, speaker bureau management. And for further information, you can contact Scotton, S-C-O-T-T-O-N, communicationsnetwork.com. That's Scotton, C-O-T-T-O-N, communications, C-O-M-M-U-I-C-A-T-I-O-N, with an S, network.com. Now that we paid a few bills and we're back here talking about our show today, we have no guest scheduled to be joining us today, but we tried to put together what we felt would be a very, very interesting show for you today. And as we lead off on our show, we'll be talking about the 2019 Solar for All Conference. Now, the Solar for All Conference is put on by DC Neighborhoods United. Now, they're asking people to join them for their 6th annual DC Solar Conference, which yours truly spoke last year at the University of the District of Columbia about equity in the industry. I reached out to Mrs. Yasmin Riviera, which is the program director, and I am truly, truly somewhat concerned about the issue of community engagement around this whole solar conference. Now, this conference is going to be held Saturday, June 1st, from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the RISE Demonstration Center, located at 2730 Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue in Southeast Washington, D.C. The D.C. Solar Congress is a free conference that brings together solar supporters from across D.C. to learn and discuss the current state and future of solar energy in the district. Today, we'll include a series of presentations about technologies, topics, as well as ways to get involved with helping grow solar in D.C. Topics will include Solar 101 information session, Solar DC Solar for All program, electric vehicles, mystifying solar, emerging DC solar policy initiatives, and much more. The event will include a particularly open forum discussion for all attendees to discuss priorities and opportunities that D.C. supporters in D.C. should focus on the coming year. Breakfast and lunch will be provided for all attendees. All attendees, this event is free and open to the public. Everyone is welcome to attend, whether you are a solar homeowner, completely new to the solar, or somewhere in between. The event is for you. Now, I understand, as little boy says, you don't cut the hand off that feeds you. I've had the privilege of recently, on May the 8th, of having Mrs. Yasmin Riviera, who is their program director for DC, on here, and we did a show called The Solar for All Program is Like Hitting the DC Number. Now, many of you who join this program and you listen to this program on a weekly basis, you know that I've been beating the drum about community engagement around supporting getting more African Americans, black folk, inside D.C. to come and participate in these programs. You have to know I'm here on this platform, Blog Talk Radio. This is not like I'm broadcasting over, for example, WOL Radio here in Washington, D.C., where we've gone to Mrs. Karen Jackson's, got the advertising packages. We also submitted to the Department of Energy and Environment for a $25,000 community engagement grant, which we were denied, even though we've had members from the Department of DOEE, including the director, Tommy Wells, to come on this platform. Now, he talked about it was such a blessing, and you name it, he had accolades for this show. But he didn't have any money for this show. Now, I take serious issue about black folks in the District of Columbia being engaged in this process. When you look at the recent Renewable Portfolio Standard Omnibus Act of 2018, which was signed into law for by Mayor Mario Bowser on, it was passed by the D.C. Council on December 18, 2018. It was signed into law on January 18, 2019. This triggered the funding of the, what we would say, D.C. Green Bank through set fees. These fees are collected on your gas, water, and electric bills. There's a process of how this legislation came about, and I beat the drum around this issue time and time again on this format. Originally in 2016, when Mayor Bowser signed the original Renewable Portfolio Standard Amendment Act of 2016, it had a 5% carve-out for solar energy in the District of Columbia. And the law was written that says that this energy must come from the physical confines of the District of Columbia. Now, there is a process in which Pepco is being fined for the shortfall of DC-based solar because they have to buy these energy credits from their customer base. That means you have to have businesses, you have to have customers, residents with solar or PV systems installed on their homes. If that's not there, then Pepco is fine for that shortfall, and the that's a $500 fine for kilowatt hour. Well, whatever the difference between what those extracts or credits are trading for on a day-to-day basis, because they have a monetary basis, monetary value, and they go up and down on a daily basis, just like any other commodity. Now, being that Pepco did not in 2016, there was not enough credits there for them to buy from their customer base. And the director at that time in 2017 of the Public Service Commission, Betty Ann King, the Honorable Betty Ann King, came on this platform and she talked about the fact that D.C. residents paid $15 million extra for energy in the District of Columbia. Well, in 2017, that number jumped to $26.6 million. Now, we know we have the People's Council, which is the legal arm for the Public Service Commission, and I've reached out for the lead attorney at the People's Council to be a guest on this show to talk about the initiatives, some of the initiatives and programs here in the District of Columbia. Well, people have the right to say yes, and they have the right to say no. But the fact of the matter is, if you are a resident of the District of Columbia, which is our nation capital with a population base of 700,000 people, which is still 47% African Americans living inside the district, and you pay water, gas, or electric, whether you are an apartment renter, a homeowner, or own a four-unit building in the district, regardless of what your residential situation may be for housing, you, in fact, are contributing to this fund. Now, when we began to look down and drill down on this issue about the Solar for All program, let's look carefully at the agenda that they are planning for this week. They're talking about information on DC Solar for All program. Well, we know that the income limits on the Solar for All program are those which 99.9% of African Americans, black folk living in Washington, D.C., are going to be able to qualify, because our folks simply don't make that kind of income working on a menial job. The Solar for All program, income limits, we're going to share that information with you. When you begin to look at the Solar for All program in the District of Columbia and you meet the 80% area median income, which has been declared by the district, and the, as a matter of fact, these limits have been raised since the last time I've gotten some updated information, but you can get those the new updated information from the going to DOEE's website. Now, the updated information concerning a family of one for the area median income, if your if you make income limits of one person of $65,650, for two, $75,000, for three, $84,400, for four, $93,750, for five, $101,250, for six, $108,750, for seven, $116,250, and for eight, living in the household, $123,750. Well, if your income is beneath that and you are D.C. residents, you can qualify for one of the programs or initiative programs, which is supposed to, for the Solar for All program, it's a new solar energy initiative, and the district's goal is to reduce the energy bill of at least 100,000 low and moderate households by year, by 50% by year 2032. These specific Solar for All projects are open only to single family homes or row houses and townhouses. For further information, all opportunities, please contact doee.dc.gov/solarforall, all one word, SolarForall. There are a number of grantees. Neighborhoods United is just one of those grantees. Yours truly, we've interviewed 90% of the grantees on this show. And we have done it because of the passion that we have of trying to get our community, the African-American black folks born in this country, African-Americans, aware of these programs that your pocket is coming out of your pockets to pay for these programs. When you look at the issue of surrounding electric vehicles, Pepco, in fact, had a proposal that they were working on, which is since last July, we attended those public hearings. We looked at over $1 million budgeted for advertising and marketing. We have raised and beat the drum concerning the lack of support for this program. There seems to be as though people come on this show and talk because they know that if people don't go online, if they don't specifically know where I am to find this program, they're not going to hear this broadcast. So we want to keep a muzzle on him so the masses of our people who this show is designed for, that's why it's called Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America. And it's truly having an impact on us, whether we like it or not, because of climate change. The issue of climate change, you have people of not of African descent setting the agenda, setting the format, setting what will be discussed, what information will be disseminated to the black community, not talking about the economics of this process, because people are getting paid. I don't care if you are a NGO, nonprofit organization, who's supposed to be on a mission to bring solar to everybody and specifically targeting the African-American communities. The fact of the matter is you don't have black organizations doing this. All of these organizations are basically have been set up, and they're run by white females. I'm going to make it plain on this on here. When it comes time to sharing in the dollars for paying for getting the information out to the African-American community, this program I will put up against anything that you may find, if you can find anything else out there educating our community on what's going on. Now, this program is going to supposed to be addressing the issue of electric vehicles. If you go to our website, you will find out that we have a litany of articles addressing the issue of electric vehicles. We have beat the drum. We have reached out to Plug In America. We've had African-American gentleman by the name of Travis Davis, who has an organization, who is basically the only organization that, in fact, has come up with a program trying to educate the African-American community about the paradigm shift that's getting ready to take place in the marketplace, because electric vehicles are here now and the future. And they're going to play a significant impact. Well, who's going to own the charging infrastructure for these vehicles, these charging stations? Where are they going to be located? Who will have an opportunity to participating in gaining wealth from that? When these issues are raised in the black community about two black folks, rather than being something other than a consumer, rather than being someone being something other than a person who so-called reached so-called business, this is a business. Energy is a multi-billion dollar industry. This renewable energy sector is no different. This organization, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, we have been working tirelessly, reaching out to African-American-owned solar installation companies and development companies, asking them to come up under our umbrella so we'll be in a position where we can bring programs to address some of the economic issues about who's actually benefiting from this whole movement. I've raised this issue about community engagement with Neighborhoods United. Even though they've come on this show, there will be nothing there discussed about the issue of community engagement and the investment in those such as yours truly, who is bringing a program to you on a weekly basis at our own expense to get this information out. And when I have guests on this coming from these organizations coming on the show to talk, the more reach that this platform has, the more beneficial it is for what they're attempting to do. It's almost like you're trying to sabotage yourself by not supporting this platform that I'm speaking on as we speak. So I can beat the drum all day long, but people have to understand the politics of this thing is marginalizing. We are already a marginalized people in this country. African Americans, we do not understand the issue of identity and the issue of why it must be a major issue with our so-called black media when they will turn around and accept a few dollars rather than support this program. I know I went through this with Mrs. Karen Jackson from WOL Radio, which is owned by Dr. Kathy Hughes. We went and got the advertising cost. What was indicated to me, it would cost me $475 for 1 hour. I have to add in my cost to produce this show every week. There is a cost with me producing this show. My time is not free because we are a cooperative, business cooperative, and we have projects that I am working on. And I divide my time up to bring this show every week because I want it to be able to continue to beat the drum, because it doesn't make any difference what you're doing. If nobody knows you're there, you're just talking to yourself. And that seems to be the position that the majority community who don't look like me, who are receiving all of the grant money, because when I've asked people to speak up on my behalf, they told me, oh, later. What the hell do you mean later? It's not later when you come on my show and you talk about what you're doing, because you can use that to say, oh, we was on Mr. Bethay's show, Solar Now in the Future, with its economic impact on black America, and he's reaching out to engage the black community. But when you know that this show is not being heard unless people are following me over the internet. So I'm not going to cut anybody any slack on this. We've worked too hard and dedicated too much to this at our own expenditure. Now, we're going to switch gears in a minute. We're going to take as little boy said, we're going to take a pause for the calls, and we're going to be back on this platform, Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on black America, and we're going to talk about other issues which are marginalizing the black community and creating death. I'm not making this up. So you can believe what you want.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And as we started off at the beginning of the show, today is May 29th, 2019. And believe me, it is busy, folks. If you don't think climate change is having an impact on folks, you need to be following what's going on out in the middle of this country. You've got the Arkansas River flooding at historical floods. You have storms ravaging the state of Ohio. and many other of our middle states in the middle of this country. This is serious business, folks. Serious business. So to address this, we have to cut down with the ozone and the issue of toxins. Now, as I indicated to you, you can log on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's www.positivechangepc.com. Please click on our news and events tab. Scroll down to the second article. Nearly 80% of U.S. incineraries are located in marginalized communities, reports reveal. This article was done by a Mrs. Rena. The last name is spelled LIRIASUSH. And this was published May 23rd, 2019 in Utility Dive. As you began to look at this report, when you open up the website, you will see smokestacks of incineraries in Baltimore, Maryland. And the reason why Baltimore, Maryland is specifically close and dear to me is because my alma mater, Morgan State University, is located there. It was called Morgan State College, of course, when I was a student there back in the early 70s. So the bottom line is this is not news. New research from the New School of characterized incinerations as an industry in decline. WTA stakeholders, however, hold a different opinion. The vast majority of U.S. incinerators are located in the country's most marginalized communities, according to new research. Let's make this plain. It's located in black communities and other communities of folks who are classified of color. Dr. Claude Anderson talked about this whole issue of where this issue of color came from and how identity plays a role in who gets what economically in this country. And he speaks about that issue in Powernomics. And because black folks, we haven't been able to look at our most important piece, it's identity. It ain't about you. I'm a Jamaican, I'm from Nigeria. They went to Africa and carved up the continent and told folks, you're from the Democrat of Congo, you're from Nigeria. No, you're all black folk of African descent, regardless of where you're from. If you live in America, you are black folk. You are African living in America. You're still black people. We have built this country. And he went on in more details to talk about this issue on a video that I was listening to prior to me starting this broadcast. But I wanted to bring that in because this is the first thing you read in this opening of this specific article. The vast majority of U.S. incinerators are located in the country's most marginalized communities, according to new research from the Tishman Environmental and Design Center at the New School. The report, which was commissioned by the Global Alliance for Incinerary Alternatives, reveals that 73 incinerators remaining in the United States are located in low-income communities and communities, here we go, of color. 4.4 million people across the U.S. lived within 3 miles of incendiaries, approximately 1.6 million of whom are within a 3 mile radius of the 12 top emitters of PM2.5 NOx, lead, and mercury pollutants, which cause asthma, which cause cancer. This is serious business, folks. When we began to look at what is going on in Maryland, the majority of these dirty dozen facilities include 10 of which incinerators that emit the greatest quantities of lead annually are located in environmental justice communities. They call it environmental injustice communities because it's unjust that they're there, but white folks ain't having them in their community. A product of this report notes that historic residential racial segregation and explosive zoning laws that allow whiter, wealthier communities to exclude industrial uses and people of color from their boundaries. I'm reading the article. I'm not making it up. Once you go there, you can click on the different links, and it will take you into more detailed research on these specific articles. Now, U.S. municipal solid waste incinerators and industry in decline. It has red dots that identify where these incinerators are located. In view of the full report, the U.S. municipal solid waste incinerators and industry in decline, click here to update here May 21st, 2019. So as I click to update what they're talking about, to look at the updated information from the website, it's very, very clear. When you begin to look at the Mid-Atlantic region where we are located here in the state of Maryland, it's very clear about the Environmental Design Center and what they're doing. Now, their consumption of waste management, growth and incinerary industry, the 70s to 2000, incinerary and environmental justice communities. I'm just going to go a little into that because I think this is a very important issue surrounding this. They have done the homework, folks. This information is here, and it's here in complete detail. History of the incinerator industry. Municipal solid waste incinerators have a long and troubled history as waste management strategies dating back for more than a century in the United States. These facilities have taken many forms over the years and have faced an equally long history of resistance among communities where they are sited. While the trajectory of the industry was mixed and Wayne, in the last 50 years, the current state of the MS incinerator seems to be in decline. And this article does an excellent job in talking about it. They're talking about there are currently 73 of these incinerators. Including the current designated for closure. Collectively, 73 incinerators burn about 13% of the all MSU produced in the United States and have an annual revenue estimate of $3.2 billion. Let's talk about who's making money off black folks dying. They're making $3.2 billion despite the profits. The industry saw a 31% of the MSW incinerators closed in year 2000. Closures are largely due to the insignificant revenue and the inability to to afford required upgrades. Most incinerators were built in the 1980s and have exceeded their life expectancy of 30 years. The age of the facility is prime, contributed to the industry's overall decline and a factor of various equipment issues and shutdowns that have taken place over the last decade. The industry has also sought to generate additional revenue streams through federal and state classifications as renewable energy resources. Now, this just happened here in the state of Maryland when they just passed this 50% law. There seems to be, even though you have black folk from the black community out there advocating for these incinerators not to be considered as renewable energy, this was not signed by the governor. He allowed it to become law, but it seems as though the legislators in Maryland, but you have to look at where they're getting their money to get reelected. They chose not to declassify incinerators, burners, as renewable energy. That's a deal breaker. Not only is it a deal breaker, it's a health hazard. We've got thousands and thousands and thousands of African American black folk, young children with an asthma suffering from this dirty toxins in the air. Everybody has the right to breathe clean air. Now, I know that I went to WPFW, not shifting gears, and I talked with Jerry Parrish, who's the GM manager, and they started a radio show talking about the coolest show on climate change with Reverend Perrier. I have no problems with that, but some of the same issues that we cover in our format that we was asked to give them is being talked about. I look at what this platform brings to the table, and it doesn't take anything from what I do because this show has gone on. Even though we were not given the just consideration by WPFW, because there are a whole lot of other issues outside of just talking about the environmental injustice that's taking place in our community. Even though you cannot get any more important than this, because we're talking about life and death issues now. Because people's children and people are dying at a higher rate in the black community behind this thing. So is this about addressing issues when we're talking about the whole issue? While garbage incineration and waste to energy has been sold to governments and the public and technology advances approach in handling solid waste, bonus producing energy, relative little energy is actually derived from these plants. Combined, the facilities produce approximately 0.4% of the total electricity generation in the U.S. in 2015. The MS incinerators are expensive to operate and produce criteria air pollutants like particulate matters, as well as relative to more greenhouse emissions than coal-fired plants. Approximately 25% of trash incinerators at the MSS plants also remain as toxic ash, requiring landfill disposal. Emissions from these incinerators include hazardous air pollutants like mercury, lead, and toxins. These pollutants are associated with health impacts will be further explored in Chapter 3 of the report and implications around the energy production will be discussed in Chapter 2. This is a detailed report, ladies and gentlemen, that I am speaking from and looking at this information right now. And it's very, very clear that this show, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact, we bring this issue, this information to you. Paul Gilman of the Cavenat's Chief Sustainability Office, sir, disputed to Waste Dive direct health impacts of incineration, citing a 2017 Oregon Metro white paper that determined there was not a predictive or actual increase in health issues, including for those in vulnerable or sensitive at-risk populations such as children and the elderly. Well, that's a lie. While the new school report acknowledges health risk uncertainties associated with toxic air emissions or incinerators, it argues that the lack of conclusive scientific research certainly regarding the causes and consequences of harm should not be viewed as a reason to postpone preventive measures as affirmed by many international conventions. The particular principles was defined by the Wingspread Conference in 1998 when an active rise of threats of harmful human health or environmental precautionary measures should be taken if the cause and effect relationships are not fully established scientifically. The report notes highlighting the principles as a foundational tenet for environmental justice movements. While the direct health implications of incinerators are not well studied, incinerator emissions contribute to the overall cumulative impact of may harm environmental justice communities. Furthermore, authors assert that incinerators are likely investments for cities with highly capitalized, intensive, and most expensive from the garbage disposal, high construction costs, and recent halt of the WTA project in New York's Finger Lakes region that projected to cost $365 million to build often lead companies to rely on low or no-cost municipal bonds and other governmental subsidies, while expensive operations and maintenance costs estimated by authors to fall within an average of $17 to $24 million annually, can leave owners with a tight margin and operating budget. In other words, this don't even make economic sense. But see, when you got people that are invested in things, now let's be real. The human race, we generate garbage. And it's got to be disposed of. And if you're going to burn it, then you're going to have to go to the expenditures of putting the necessary caps to capture all of these emissions from going up in the atmosphere. Because we got to breathe this stuff. And it's contributing substantially to global warming. This is real, folks. I'm not making this up. These are issues. Now, I don't necessarily know how many of these issues will be discussed at the Solar for All conference here in Washington, D.C., but we know for a fact that Pepco did have an incinerary on Benning Road in the District of Columbia. And when you look at the area and go to the Office of vital statistics for the District of Columbia, you'll see that the cancer rates are higher overall in that segment of the city, which is occupied by black folk, African Americans who have lived in those communities forever, off Kenilworth Avenue and 34th Benning Road. It's a fact. The statistical data weighs that out. It proves that. Numbers, as they say, numbers can be misleading, but when you really look at and understand the numbers don't lie. They tell you what it is. Not based on opinion, but based on numerical facts. So these are all issues that I can't solve them all on this program in this limited amount of time about this. But one thing for sure, nobody will say that we did not take the time to bring this forward and to discuss this issue. Now, as we move through this show, we want our community to weigh in on this show. So those who might be out there listening, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And you want to weigh in on this issue. This is serious, folks. This is a very, very serious issue that we are dealing with. Now, we're going to take, as we say, a pause for the cause. We're going to shift gears, and we'll be back.
Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Buffet, and you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, as I indicated before, we, in fact, took that commercial break. You know that this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative. And the slogan for this show, if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies. To address the economic effects of high energy costs for our HBCUs, to utilize black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, and develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the unemployment and underemployment of our young African-American millennials. also to educate the black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future. With this economic impact on black America is also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, HBCU Radio Talk Show Initiative, which you are listening to at the, over the worldwide net over Blog Talk Radio format, and we're streaming over Facebook and Twitter. We're also brought to you by ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production online and traditional, newspaper production online and traditional, book writing, editing and publishing, and speaker bureau management. For contact information, you can contact ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. You can contact ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. Now, as I indicated, you can join us at any time by dialing 646-668-2948. Once again, that's 646-668-2948. Please press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you'll be in our green room and we want to bring you right on into the studios into this conversation. Now, people are busy out here, folks, and we get that. And we realize that everybody has an agenda. Now, one of the things that we have looked at time and time and time and time again, and we beat the drum around a number of these issues, is the fact that these green banks are being established. I've done a number of shows about these green banks. I've reached out to some celebrities in our community, Mr. Marcus Johnson of Flow Brands. I've reached out to him. I've asked him. I've sent him some detailed information and asked him if he'd come on and do a little homework, get up to speed on these green banks, and look at how they can play into some of the industries that he's involved in, because we're talking about the financing, folks. Always follow the money. I don't care who you're talking about or what they're talking about, follow the money. Once you follow the money, it'll tell you everything else you need to know. Okay? It will tell you everything else you need to know. And that's one of the biggest issues with 45. He don't want people to have his tax returns, because then they can really know what's going on. Everything is speculative until you do what? Look at the numbers. Everybody's got the opinion, but everybody don't have the facts. But once you get data, then you can, you know what you're talking about, because you got the numbers in front of you. That's why people hide their financial, your financial information, and it's not for everybody to know. It's your business. We get that. Not when you're the president of the United States of America, it's not. No, sir. You got to do the same thing as everybody else. You got to add it up with them returns so people will know who you're taking care of and who's taking care of you. And whose interests are you really serving? Are you serving the interests of the people who sent you to that Oval Office? Or are you looking out for your own interests? I don't have to be a judge nor a jury, because the information is coming out every day. It's going to come out. As Brother Dick Gregory used to say, Brother Gregory has gone on with the ancestors, but he always says, you know, you can't hide it. It's like washing clothes. You wash clothes, you put your powder, you run the water in the machine, But what does that machine do? It does something. It moves, and it shakes, and it agitates. And what it does, it gets the dirt out. Well, it's the same thing with life. You know what I mean? It gets the dirt out. When you begin to look at what's going on in this country, where we are, what we're doing. Now, it's very, very, very clear to me that we need to begin to follow what's going on with these green banks. And as I looked up, I received a email from the Green Bank of Montgomery County. And it's about the upcoming board meeting. As I began to read the agenda for the meeting, I said, well, what does these people have to have? What are they doing that they got to have? Now, this upcoming meeting will be held on Tuesday, June 4th, 2019, at 8 a.m. in the morning. And it said, and it'll be, the location will be the Montgomery County Green Bank, which is located at 155 Gibbs Street, fourth floor, room, Rockville, Maryland. The public may attend this meeting. If you wish to attend, please reserve RSVP, where you can go and you can register. But you got to be first on their mailing list. Let me share with you the agenda. The meeting will be called to order at 8 a.m. sharp. Public introduction and comment. 8:05, approval of the agenda by Hunter. General business, closed session discussion on matters related to investment in public funds. Why is it this public money that it's got to be closed? Don't get me to lying about this. 8:45, information items and announcements by Hunter. 8:45 a.m. adjournment. The public may attend the meeting. If a member of the public plans to attend, please RSVP to info@mcgreenbank.org. This is incredible, folks. You got people who will have to drive. First, if you have a meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning, you don't want too many damn people there anyway, because people got to go to work. Only people who are stakeholders can afford to even come to these meetings. That means they got their businesses is in this arena, and they're being paid to come and attend this meeting. And they got to be there at 8 sharp, and in 45 minutes, the meeting is over. How are people going to be aware of what's going on with this Green Bank? This was funded with $14 million. From the merger, when Pepco merged, the merger that took place in with Exelon and Pepco several years back. I reached out for Hunter, who's the gentleman who runs the Montgomery County Green Bank, asked him to come on this platform. He declined. He has the right to do so. I can't make anybody do anything. Also, I can let them know that we can talk about that, too. And that's what we're doing. What do they have to hide? Why are you having a meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning if you want people to know that these green banks exist and what they're talking about, what they're discussing. Okay? Then you have a closed session discussion on matters related to investment of public funds? That's crazy. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. I'm reading this from the agenda that's been sent out in email to people and individuals who are on their email mailing list. So even though it's public information, it's not public, because if you don't know it exists, then you don't know what's going on. These are the issues that I have with folk running things of European descent. You don't have to play hide information from folk because it's in plain sight, but you can also make it convenient for people to get there. And the time, people got to work. But there, some kind of way, the consumer is paying for this in Montgomery County. I know Montgomery County is one of the wealthiest counties in the United States of America. You got an awful lot of money in Montgomery County. And I also know that this Green Bank is going to play a very important role in determining who's going to get what from this green movement in terms of financing of projects, because they do have pace in Montgomery County. Folks, we need to be paying attention to what's going on out here. We really and truly need to be paying attention of what's going on out here. We are not in the loop. I have to decide whether I can continue to run to a lot of these meetings and stuff, because it takes time. Time is money. It takes resources to travel back and forth. That's an expense. Plus your time being there when you can be working on something else. I can't afford to do that if I don't have compensation coming in from advertisers to fund this show that will allow me to go out and get that information. This is a fact. When you try to have these discussions, it's not that people don't understand that. They understand exactly what it is. When you ask them to come on and talk about information that should be made available to the public and they decline, well, they have the right to do so, because you can't make anybody, I can't, or nobody else can make you do anything, but the government, IRS, can make you move unless you violated some kind of law. But people have freedom of speech, and they have the right to talk to who they want to talk to. That's why I only get concerned when I know that African Americans are contributing to the kitty and not getting the damn thing out the deal. This is happening, folks. That is why I reached out to Mr. Marcus Johnson, who's internationally owned, to see if I could get him involved around this conversation talking about green banks. This agenda for this meeting clearly shows you how tight-lipped and how they want to keep this information so a very, very limited few will know what the hell is going on. This is a fact. This is my interpretation of what I'm reading here from this agenda. Now, as I've indicated, we'll continue to beat the drum around numerous issues on this platform, because that's what we do. And we look at the impact it's going to have on Black America. And I'm telling you, you got a sizable black American population in Montgomery County, and they are contributing to this. I don't have the exact numbers, but I know that the and percentages of African Americans living in Montgomery County, but they're substantial. You have a lot of Africans from the diaspora living in Montgomery County because it is one of the wealthiest counties in the United States of America, period. And the Jewish community is well, well represented in Montgomery County. Make no mistake about that. So we're going to switch gears. We're going to move on, and we're going to talk about some other issues. And then we're going to open up the lines. And if we don't hear from our listening audience, then we're going to close this show out. Because I don't come on this show just to hear myself talk. I try to bring you what I say news that you can definitely use. So we're going to take another pause for the calls here on Soul and Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
I hear the song worth singing.
I can tell.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact. And we open up our lines to our listening audience, and you can join us by calling 646-668-2948. Once again, you can join us by calling 646-668-2948. And we're going, while we're waiting on people to get into us, we're going to sort of do what we do. We're going to go to our news and events tab link on our website, which you can go to at positivechangepc.com, and you'll be able to scroll down, and we're going to look at the litany of data articles that we have here for your information. State squandering $3 billion from Volkswagen Settlement Fund with lack of EV focus report. It talks about the money that the states got from the VW settlement, and I beat the drum on that issue on this show a number of times, numbers of times. Discussion with Thomas Cameron about the D.C. Historic Homeowner Grant Program, who was a guest on this show last week. We also talked about AET Honda partner to test vehicle grid integration with used EV batteries, what they're going to be doing with these batteries after they are coming out of these electric vehicles. The SC rolls out a $356 million charging structure program to spur electric trucks, buses, and other large vehicles. I found that to be a very interesting article that I think that our listening audience and community would like to read. Senators launch bipartisan initiative on long-term solutions to expiring energy tax credits. I think that's very, very important, especially for our community. Discussing how Carl Brown Jr., Executive Director of Howard University, DC SBCD, he was a guest on this show. how to project California ratepayers from the expanding of clean energy and avoid bailing out PG&E. If you got folks who live on the West Coast, brother, that's real. The looming threat to the state of renewable energy goals in the wholesale electric markets. EVgo commits to powering chargers with 100% renewable energy. Now, these articles are all located at positivechangepc.com. Insane signs 100% clean energy bill Midwest of the 2020 White House bid. It seems like the model green energy firm, but black workers paint a different picture, which we talked about. This lawsuit that's been class action that's been filed by a law firm out of Manhattan on behalf of workers there in New Jersey, working with this company out of Jersey. PG&E faces SEC investigation into public disclosures of wildfire losses. I found that to be very, very informative article. Marijuana prices have collapsed, forcing growers to focus on energy efficiency. Solar groups call for more inclusive hiring methods to improve diversity in the energy industry. Potential buyers eyebrowing abandoned $9 billion SC nuclear power plant. Legislators say renewable energy to power all of Nova's drug production next year. So if you go to our website, are regulators hindering EV acceleration? High-speed hurdle, designing fast charging networks, electric buses. It's all there, folks. These are the issues that are of today. This is where the job creation is. There are a total number of issues surrounding the whole movement around renewable energy, which came about to combat so-called climate change, which is a reality. But how do we benefit as an African people, black Americans in this country, from that? This is what the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative goal was, to increase market share, to work with our historically black colleges and universities. We have met with officials at Livingston University in Salisbury, North Carolina. I'm proud to announce we have been working on putting together a green initiative for Livingston through the auspices of Dr. Lillian Abrams, the CEO and founder of Peer Consultants. And I'm working here with a client of mine, Mr. Richard Corley, who family hails from Chester, South Carolina. We went down. We have been working on trying to build a large-scale solar farm on their 127 acres there located in Chester, South Carolina, along with working on several other initiatives here in the District of Columbia with commercial properties that his family owns. So we are very, very busy because we just don't talk it, we walk it. We're not just here on behind a mic every day just talking. You know, like everybody said, talk is cheap. And it does take financing to get something done. So if you want to join us, we've got a few more minutes left in this program. You can join us by calling 646-668-2948. If we don't get any calls in the next few minutes, we will be closing out our show a few minutes earlier than our program hour and a half, because we've got about 9 more minutes left in our time that we set aside for this particular episode. But I hope that you find this format to be informative. But believe me, folks, this is not free. And as I beat the drum around this every week, I've even been struggling trying to get the necessary funding in here for me to make some improvements with equipment and do some upgrades to our website. So we're going to continue to invest in ourselves, invest in this show, and keep this show coming to you on a weekly basis, because we're going to make this happen. This is a passion of mine, and I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't a passion. So we don't seem to have any callers trying to hit us up today. So we hope that we brought you some news that you can definitely use. So all we can say in our closing remarks is go in peace. And until next week, follow us at PositiveChangePC.com, Facebook, and Twitter. And once again, thank you for taking the time. If you're not listening live and not calling in, or you listen to us as on a pre-recorded basis as we record this show, we appreciate your patronage of following us up on the World Wide Web over this platform, Stolen Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America. Until next week, we say go in peace.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it?